here this evening. She most often does not get to travel with me, and she has responsibilities when it comes to the household, but especially she teaches, she still teaches the 2 and 3 year olds in the Sunday school. And I said, when are you going to quit this? And she said, when I go to heaven. And so, okay, that's all right. That's good. That's good. But I want her to stand right now. Sweetheart, would you do that? And this is my wife. Take a good look at her. I do. And so I'm so pleased with it. Listen, I say wherever I go, this is the girl of my dreams. And don't talk to her because she will say nightmares. But it is not nightmares. It is dreams. And I appreciate so much our faithful relationship together. I have been married now for over 50 years. Bless the Lord. And it's a miracle considering the fact that I am who I am, but she stuck it out with me, and I really appreciate it. And then I have been called to preach for over 50 years, and I have been saved for over 50 years. Now, that's a long time, brother, and I am enjoying every inch of it. I really am. I'm thrilled with it. Would you allow me to, now it won't be contemporary music, brother, don't know. But would you allow me a liberty? Okay, the two ladies that were at the instruments, would you go back to the instrument, and would you play 334? Just play it clear through. It is absolutely, the chord progressions in that hymn are absolutely wonderful. And so I want you to listen, and it will help us and prepare us this evening as we get ready to look at the text that we're about to look at. 334. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. I appreciated the woodwinds tonight. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Clarinet, saxophone. Enjoy this instrument. Not this one, but the piano. It's over 300 years old now since it was first put together. And what an instrument. All these instruments that are used for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to think or want you to think that I think you take it for granted, but I hope you won't. Let me just say a word to you. The great, great music, like you're singing and hearing here, it is by many, many churches being wiped away. I do know what I'm talking about. It is my privilege to travel. So I get a panoramic view, which in some cases is disheartening. The kind of music that is now replacing what you've heard tonight, it's a sad commentary. And so thank God that you are sticking with it. God bless you, brother, for your leadership, the leadership that's in your pastor, his wife, and all of you put together that make this assembly what it is. It's a thrill for me to be here. My wife and I are thrilled with it. We are impressed with your building. I remember when I was here, one of the brethren and I, we were talking. I was here, maybe within the last part of the first year. And you were still in folding chairs. And I had the privilege of being here then and then come back tonight. And I just want to tell you that you who came this morning and you heard me preach, I appreciate your coming back tonight. you know, when I preach, I wonder if anybody's going to come back when they know I'm going to be there. And so I told the pastor, I said, you're risking your ministry to have me. And you know what? I think he might have said under his breath, amen. But he's but anyway, okay. Will you take your Bible, please, and let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. I want you to look with me tonight. We'll look at particularly chapter 9, not just that. But we will look at chapter 9, 1 Samuel. Will you watch closely now, and I will read from the verse 1 of chapter 9, 1 Samuel. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, and the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Did you notice those words? A mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. A choice. Now notice the description of this man. A choice young man. And a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher, taller than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come. Now notice this concern on the part of Saul. Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. In a moment, we'll pray. I want you to think with me very carefully now. Let's go back a little bit historically. Almighty God, in his wonderful way, had established the people. Samuel had been in the position of a prophet for a long time at this point. Samuel was an unusual man. He did love the Lord God with all of his heart. It is true that his boys didn't turn out well, but it is also true that he did love the Lord with all of his heart. He's waiting on God and listening to God, and he's communing with God and walking with God. And he's living in this place. In fact, he is a circuit-riding preacher. And now this man, Saul, comes because this man, Saul, has been the one that God has chosen because the people griped. Did you hear me? When the people of God gripe, it is not a good thing. It's never a good thing. It's so easy to complain. I said to you this morning in the message, the will of God is perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. The way of God is always correct. And now, because of the difficulty that took place within the people became discontent. And finally, the Lord said to Samuel, I'm going to show you a man, and that man is going to be the one king over my people. Now, Samuel was not pleased with that. God was not pleased with that. The people were certainly not pleased with what they had when it comes to the rulership of God. Now, before we go any further, let me ask you a question. Don't answer. Are you pleased with the rulership of God? Knowing that He's perfect? Knowing that He never makes a mistake? Knowing that God has never had to apologize for anything? Personally, now think about yourself. Are you pleased with His rulership? Could I say to you that you would do well to be pleased with His rulership? You say, are you assuming that we're not? No. How would I know your heart? But I've lived long enough to know that people have a tendency to complain when they ought not. And so here is a man, and he does not even yet know what's going to happen. But he is choice, and he's goodly. And his stature is very, very impressive. And when Saul is finally allowed to understand what he's supposed to do, he even conducts himself in a manner of humility. When you and I look in a moment at some of the developments about his life, it is amazing. Let me make this one point. God says in the scripture that God gave him a new heart. That's what God did with you when you got saved. New heart. There was a radical upheaval in you. You were born upside down spiritually. And when you got saved, God fixed you so you're right side up. And now you're walking with God. And when this took place with Saul, he sure enough did walk with God. Now let's pray. Father, please help us. Without your help, there will be no help available that will do any good. And tonight, we're so glad to be together in this assembly hall where each of us have the privilege of sitting in comfort. And you have blessed us abundantly. And now, because you have blessed us abundantly, with all of our hearts, we want to give back to you all that you expect of us. And help us to understand that you do have great expectations. And dear Lord, you have that right. And in having saved us, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to you. And with that being true, will you please help us during this brief time tonight to understand the truth of God? Please help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and for his sake, amen. Here's a man who has physical superiority. He's choice, and he's goodly, and he's handsome, and he's impressive. And there are all kinds of commendable qualities of disposition in this man. There is a modesty. There is a generosity. There's a discreetness, discretion. There's a courage. There is an antagonism against evils, the spiritism that he did away with in the whole country. He was in a very special way, he was equipped by God in becoming the king. And God gave him, as I said to you, another heart. He became another man. The Spirit of God came upon him. He prophesied with the sons of the prophets. He was given a band of men whose heart God had touched to support him in the endeavor that God wanted of him. He had a trusty counselor in this man, Samuel, who became his close friend, and at his side gave him every opportunity in counsel to obey God. And this was really a rare thing. He was given the privilege and the responsibility to rule for God. But there is a defection. One of the things that is true of this man, he never became a shepherd. You listening? He never saw his need for God. Are you listening? That aspect of life brought him to the place of ruin. To become a shepherd is to accept the responsibility of God for the people under whose rule they lived. He never became a shepherd. He never saw his need for God. It was all about Saul, not about God. Any time that any person gets to the place where it's all about them instead of all about God, you can put this down in capital letters. He will come to a place of ruin. Doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter how great his abilities are. Doesn't matter about his persuasive power. Doesn't matter about his ability to preach, if he's a preacher. I had the privilege of hearing one of the Shuler brothers. Phil Shuler was a close friend, Phil and Marie, of my wife and I. His brother, it is said of his brother that he was probably one of the greatest preachers that ever preached in America. Bob Shuler was his daddy. Bob Shuler was a close friend to Bob Jones Sr. And this man, Jack Shuler, was a tremendous preacher. But he got to where he couldn't see his need for God. Ending, died and fell across a floor in a drunken state. Check the history. You'll find it's true. When you refuse, or I refuse, in my step to walk with God, In other words, to do it on my own. I have just then made such a serious step that if it is not corrected immediately, it begins to have its effect in my walk and in my life. And it doesn't matter who I am. Did you know that most men, when they fail in the latter part of their life? Did you know that? Fact. You must walk each day very carefully in the presence of God. You must walk in the Spirit. You must allow Almighty God to have His way with you every day. We sang tonight, "Oh, save that I'm glad." We heard played tonight, "Jesus, I come." The hymns that you've been singing and the music that's played and sung, emphasizing the person of God, the Father and the Son, and the wonderful way by which the leadership of the Spirit of God is expressed in you. Be careful, bless your heart, my good friends, be careful that you don't lose that. There's nothing more precious. Hear me. There's nothing more precious than the presence of God when you're right with God. Nothing more precious. There's nothing in all of life that can compare to it. Nothing. And so here is a man, and he begins to experience those telltale signs, that defection. You do remember, do you not, that in living as a king now, that he's been told what to do, and he was told to wait at Gilgal for 7 days for Samuel. But he got impatient, and he himself stepped into the position of the priest. And you don't do that. Not in the Old Testament. You don't do that. And then not only did he do that, but he had a condition called rash willfulness. And he even went so far as to impose a death sentence on any man who would eat on that day, described when the men were so famished because of battle. And if it hadn't been for the people stopping him, he would have seen to it that his own son, Jonathan, was killed. He was rash in his willfulness. But he was also disobedient and deceitful, and he lied. And here he is, moving in a position of leadership for the glory of God, and is damaging every single day. Now, I want you to remember, he outlawed witchery. And toward the end of his life, he sought the counsel of a witch. How far down can someone go? Only God knows. I will tell you this. It never pays to take a risk. I really don't know what is in me. I don't know all of my weaknesses. I know some of them, but I don't know all of them. And if I'm not careful, and I risk and take a liberty where I should not, it is most dangerous, because It grips you when you choose something. And if you don't make it right immediately, it leads you down a road pathway that you will go much farther than you expect to go. And you will stay much longer than you expect to stay. And it will cost you a whole lot more than you expect to pay. It never, never is sensible to disobey knowingly the will of God. And this man did. And it absolutely brought a dismantling process in his life day by day by day by day. Now, with that all having been said and with that being true, there now is a process going on where this man is going to come to the place where his life is so full of sorrow and trouble and twisted thinking that he ends up trying to kill one of the very best supporters in all of the court, whose name is David. And David is called upon to come and play the music to soothe the soul. And David does so. And even in the presence of the king, this king that God chose, the king that God chose, he throws a javelin and intends to kill David. You say, what in the world? That's right, what in the world? How could someone do that? Oh, you don't know what you'll do when you go astray away from God. You don't know what you'll do. You mark this down. Whatever is in you that comes to your thinking when you're apart from God and you don't resist it because you don't have the power of God expressed in you to resist it at that time could bring you to a place where you'll do something that will absolutely bring awe-strickenness to the whole person and the whole family and the whole church, and it's happened all over this country every day. You cannot risk it. You must instead be willing to obey. David was not perfect, but do you realize he never deserted Saul? If you think so, give me chapter and verse. He never did desert Saul. Saul tried to kill him and he didn't desert Saul. Saul chased him and chased him and chased him. And he had the opportunity to kill Saul. And his warriors said, take his life, get rid of him. David would not do it. In fact, even said, touch not the Lord's anointed. He never deserted Saul in spite of the fact that Saul had gone to such depths of degradation. You know why? Because David knew the value of viewing the fact that God had chosen this man and put him in office. Was Saul wrong? Yes. Was he defunct? Yes. But you got to leave it up to God. And God doesn't need any help. And David waited. And Saul ended up on the mountain with that wonderful son, Jonathan. And he asked an infidel to kill him. And the infidel did. And then he went and told David. And David had the infidel killed because he did what David would not do. they took the body of Saul off the city of wall of Bashan and gave it a proper burial. David gave a thorough respect, not because Saul was a good man, but because of a good God who put him in office. Are you listening? You never compromise with sin, but you never become the wielder of the hatchet when it comes to doing away with someone that God has put in office. Oh, yeah. Now think of Jonathan. Became the close friend of David. And Jonathan never deserted David. Now do you remember that Jonathan is the son of Saul? What made the difference? Jonathan walked with God. That made the difference. That made the difference. His whole being was taken up with a spirit of reverence toward Almighty God. That's what gave him the power to be able to even slay a numerous amount of enemies with his own armor bearer when it would seem like it was an impossibility. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what no other friend can do. And Jonathan trusted God. And Jonathan remained true, and it cost Jonathan his life, along with his daddy, in the battle on Mount Gilboa. And he paid the price to be faithful. And Saul paid the price of being unfaithful. And David remained and became, as is known, the greatest king that Israel has ever had. I want to tell you something tonight. You and I are living in a day now when all kinds of things are being offered to entice the child of God to move away from the biblical standard. And the persuasive power is so seductive. We have an assembly, brother, that's within a mile of our house. It used to be a building that was occupied by Hobby Lobby. And Hobby Lobby moved to a different location. This building has been standing vacant for quite some time. And one night recently, my wife and I drove past, and we didn't see a sign at first. She may have seen it, I didn't. And it was an advertisement later that we saw the sign, and it was a church called Red Rocks. And now, when they have a meeting, this huge parking lot is packed with cars. And the assembly hall, though we've not been inside it, is packed. Now, sweetheart, I want you to tell the people what the advertisement says. My wife and I were talking about it, and she read an advertisement that this church puts out. And so if you can recall, what did they say when they invited people to come? Listen carefully now. You hear that? Tie up the loose ends of our faith with a crisp pint of beer and God. And the building is packed. And you know what that is? That's preliminary to the great movement that will produce a one world church. That's what that is. And right before us, it's going on. The elect people of God, you're a part of that group. And when you and I make our decision, and have already done so, to walk with God, that's exactly what it amounts to. It is a walk with God that makes God look good. It's a walk with God. I mean, it's your speech. It's your thinking. It's your service rendered. It's the playing of this wonderful instrument. It's the fellowship with each other. It's the prayer life. It's the reading and studying of the Word of God. It's the concern for the lost and dying people. It is an emphasis in your living to do what you can to support missions. It's a case of being so loyal that there's no mistake about your loyalty to the Lord and to your pastor and to this assembly. It's all of that. It's a walk with God. And even though he did pull some stunts, that's what David tried to do. Have you ever wondered how it is that God calls him a man after God's own heart? Did he pull some stuff? But I didn't come up with the idea. God called him a man after God's own heart. And I don't know. I really don't know. I've heard some men say that they think, and I'm not sure about this, so I'm not trying to make a point that's absolute, but I don't know for sure about Saul. I kind of think he may be in heaven. Because of that statement, God gave him a new heart. Now, it may be not. So I'm not trying to argue with somebody who disagrees. But I cannot argue with the fact that God calls David a man after God's own heart. I can't argue about that. That's a fact. So what am I saying to you tonight in the absence of your wonderful pastor, and this assembly that is important to me because you're of like faith? It's a biblical thing here. You want what's right. You prove that you're loyal. You wouldn't have come tonight. And not everybody who came tonight felt like coming. Some of you didn't feel like it, but you came anyway. And there are times when I don't feel like preaching, but I preach anyway because it is the calling of God. And so you don't baby yourself. I'm not saying anybody does that. I'm just saying you don't baby yourself. You just step up to the plate and keep going. I mean, there'll be an eternity of rest for you one of these days. Huh? And so you'll get plenty of rest then. You need some sleep sometimes. I know that. You have to have it in order to function. I know that. But guess what? Some people think that they need 18 hours a day. And that's a little bit of an extreme, right? Oh, yeah, I see. So here you are tonight. You have an example that is terrible with Saul. You have an example with Jonathan that's tremendous. You have an example of David that's kind of in between. But I want you to understand something. God invites you and appeals to you and to me that He wants us to do all we can in surrender and be like Jonathan. Now I know, like Jesus. I know. But if you and I can accept this fact and consider this statement, I'm doing the best I can to live it. I am. You ask my wife. I am doing the best I can. And so is she. And so are we. And so tonight, with this in your thinking, and you go home, and you're driving, and you're sleeping, and tomorrow you're working, would you be willing to address the issues in your living? And be sure that all is well. You see, the songwriter has given us a song, Search Me. In my opinion, there's not a better song anywhere. It's absolutely wonderful. And in a moment, our brother is going to lead us in this song. And when we come to the last stanza, would you sing it a cappella? And then at the close of that, I'll say a few words, we'll bow our heads and pray. I'll say a few words and then we'll conclude our service tonight. So, brother, will you lead us in Search